easy on us because we are talking about separation. We're talking about Abraham moving from a geographical location to another geographical location. So it's easier. He was in Ur of the Chaldees. Now he is moving to Canaan. They were in the land of Egypt, the children of Israel, and then they moved to the wilderness, and then they moved to the land of Canaan. It is a geographical movement, so you could understand that. Now you say to yourself, what is he saying? You know, if I'm living in, what country did you say, Brooklyn? Should I leave? I mean, is that what you are saying? Just get out of Brooklyn or get out of whatever, Canada? Is that what we are saying? I think Brother Chuck also mentioned in John the matter of faith and a matter of exercise. So we want to understand these things because I don't know. I don't want to see a show of hand. How many of you are struggling? There is a struggle what's going on. That struggle, it's a movement in the soul. It's called exercise. Because there is a pull going on. Ur of the Chaldees is a nice place. All my friends are there. It's a very well civilized place, educated place. Everything is wonderful. I mean, I am really comfortable there. I love my friends. They're nice people. You know, most of the other guys, sometimes these Christians are like just hard-nosed, and I really don't like their attitude, you know. So, but my friends in Ur of the Chaldees are really nice people. Why should I leave them? I mean, I could sit there and be a nice guy. That's one thing. What made Abraham move is he have seen something that was worth going after. And you and I are going nowhere because Ur of the Chaldees or the land of Canaan, there are bad people there and there are bad people there. I could worship idols in Ur of the Chaldees and I could worship idols in the land of Canaan. To us, it's not a matter of moving geographically. It is something in my own heart. I look around and I see the world. It offers everything. And I'm struggling, and many of you are. You are being pulled and torn in between. You are. And you could deny it and you say, no, I'm fine, I'm happy. Some of you are here, I don't know, because your parents told you to go. Some of you are here because somebody brought you with them and dragged you to come. And some of you could not wait till this meeting is over. So you can go and take a nap, because otherwise you'll be sleeping here. And there's a struggle going on in your own soul. That's okay. That's natural. That's normal. Don't be alert. That's what Brother Chuck was talking about in exercise. Because the God of glory is calling you. And throughout this week, he is pointing out to you to something that's even greater than Ur of the Chaldees. You think you have great friends? You think you have all of the fun that you could have in the music you listen to and in the movies that you watch? God has something greater than that. And that is Christ. And he's offering to us. He said, you want to know about Christ? You just come with me. Now, Abraham was moving, right? He's moving. So you have a car. Imagine you have, there's no cars. There was a camel. But it has front seats and back seats. Okay? In the front seat, you have Abraham and Sarah. Abraham holding the steering wheel. He got his GPS on. He's, remember, the GPS gets direction from above, right? There's a satellite up there that tells you where to go. Now, Terah is sitting in the back with Lot. Have you ever have a backseat driver? That was Terah. Have you ever have these guys? They are annoying. They think they know it all. So Terah finally said, hey, listen, Abraham, turn that GPS off. Forget it. I know the way. I'll give you direction. And he's sitting in the backseat telling him, hey, Haran is a good place. Let's just stop right there. You might have in you a backseat driver. A Terah. Tell you, hold it. As David was saying, not all the way. 50%. Yes, you know, on Sunday you could be a Christian. That's okay. But you know, the rest of the week, you are your own man, you are your own woman, you could follow everybody else. And the Lord is not satisfied by that movement. That again, not geographically. It's a movement in my own heart. I have changed. I am no longer the man that is living. My location, spiritually speaking, is not the land of two rivers that is independent from God. My geographical location in my spirit, in my soul, inside of me, I'm moving on. Now, I'm not going to look inside to see where I'm moving. I don't want you to look inside of you at all. I want you to look up. Get your direction from that satellite up there that's telling you how to move.
I think it's an extremely important thing to follow on, Emil. When we began to see two men in the same world, called by the same God, with such different views of the world through which they were passing. And this is really what happens. I put in the little notes the features of the call of God. We've hit on some of these. Number one, it is a divine call. I recognize that it is the God of glory that has an intense personal interest in my life, in your life, as an individual here. But secondly, it is an individual call. It's not a call that goes to this group of young people. It is an individual call that is answered, and I respond to the call of God as an individual. How important to see that. The third thing was, we've been touching on it, and Emil has helped us to see that we're not asking you to move to Virginia. Okay, it's a very beautiful state, and we have nice mountains there, but nobody's asking you to move down to Virginia so that you can live for the Lord. You can live for the Lord wherever you are. This is the wonderful thing about the call of God. When it is realized, it is a call of separation from this world wherever you are. Wherever you happen to be in this world, you recognize that God has called you by His grace to separate from a world that is going to judgment. Then you say, well, I don't know exactly how to do this. And this was the big difference between Abraham and Lot. This was what brought out, and it comes out so vividly in the chapters that are going to follow, how did they picture the world? How did they picture Sodom in their mind? One man was exercised. One man knew what it meant to want to please this God that had called him. Another man, if we could use a New Testament analogy, was following from a distance. Peter, we remember the circumstances in the New Testament. When the call of God is heard in my heart, when it was heard in my heart, when it was heard in Tony's heart, and David's heart, and John's, and Emil's, it changed our view of this world. God didn't change the world. He changes how believers think about the world through which they're passing. Now, that's the most important thing, that I view the world entirely differently. Later, we'll find that Lot lifted up his eyes, and why, my goodness, this was the best thing. He took it, and he took everything for himself. And the man of God says, I don't need any of it. I can trust God to give it all to me. So it is a call, when heard, that changes my view of this world.